just like to stop and look at you every now and then. It's nice to stop and to say, God, thank you for family. Amen. Would you turn with me to Revelation chapter 21? We're going to go right back to some familiar verses. We've looked at them several times, but today we're going to look at them anew. And we're going to look at them from the perspective of the New Jerusalem, the place that God is preparing for us. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word, Revelation chapter 21? And we're going to begin reading at verse 1, and this time we're going to read through verse 8. These are beginning to become pretty familiar, are they not? We've looked at them a number of times. John, when he had the revelation from God, he came to the place and recorded there in our chapter 21, it says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Amen. "There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who becomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Now look at this at the end of that wonderful sharing of heaven. He adds a but. "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Father, would you help us to absorb these words recorded for us that we might know what to expect in the New Jerusalem and what not. We pray, Lord, for your wisdom to hear and to act upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the New Jerusalem is the capital city of the new heaven. And by this time, as we've read in the Scripture, God has already destroyed the new heaven, or the old heavens, and the old earth. And the Scripture says that the new heaven and the new earth has come, and that God lowered down from heaven the New Jerusalem. And the New Jerusalem is the capital city. Now, you may be thinking, he's got a city for us to go to in heaven. Yes, he does. You think there's going to be room for everybody? Well, the Scripture says that it will be 1,500 miles squared, a perfect cube. I guess we're all going to be able to float around. I'm not sure how it's going to work, but we're not going to be bound by the earthly things, right? It's going to be 1,500 miles tall and 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles deep. It's that high, that long, that wide. We know this. So there ought to be room for every person who has ever lived. And yet we know that not as many are going to be there as is commonly believed. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14 says, "Narrow is the way, and few there be that find it." Well, we've talked that we were going to be talking about 10 different aspects of heaven, and I'm excited to share some with you today. Now, we've covered four already, and I started to say last week, but that was a couple of weeks ago because Brother Nathan had to fill in for me last week. But we learned that heaven was a real place. Heaven is a remaining place. Heaven is a readied place. And heaven is a place of relationship. Now, today we're going to cover a few more. And the one we're going to cover first, I'm going to skip to the end because I like to finish with the good stuff, okay? So let's just go right to that verse at the end that was added in there that you're going, ooh, man, you know, did that have to be in our heaven picture? But we know that heaven is going to be a restricted place. So let's look back at verse 8 again. And verse 8 says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone." So they're going to have no part in heaven. None of that is going to be there. Right here in the middle of this very positive, beautiful description of heaven, God gives us a list of those who won't be there. Now you might be going, well, Pastor, couldn't you just have skipped over verse 8 and just gotten to the good stuff, right? Listen, there are times I like to do that too. You know, as a matter of fact, one of my favorite cereals is Lucky Charms. And yes, I pick the marshmallows out because I go right for the good stuff. But you know, sometimes you've got to have the balance. You can only eat so many marshmallows until you really need something to appreciate the marshmallows. Well, you know, for us to really appreciate the good, we've got to appreciate the bad. In other words, in order for us to appreciate what is going to be there, we need to appreciate what's not going to be there as well. So why does God include this bit of information? Perhaps it's to emphasize to us that sin that has fouled and marred this earth is not going to be allowed into the next creation. It's not going to be allowed in what God prepares for us. Perhaps it's also a warning for us to remember that God is just not some old white-haired grandpa that's, you know, toothless. Why is it that some people feel, oh, well, God's just going to let it slip by? Folks, I think perhaps that's more the reasoning here. Perhaps it's a warning to remind us that we are not going to be seeing any of that in heaven. And then if that's a part of our hearts, if that's a part of our lives, it needs to be turned loose and gotten rid of. Now, there's a list from chapter 21, verse 8. And let's just go through them pretty quickly. I know that you're going, well, this is not fun, but you know, this is a part of the Word of God, and we're going to cover it all. The cowardly. What does that mean? That means those who were afraid to accept Christ. They never accepted Jesus Christ. They were afraid to take a stand on earth for whatever reason. Well, I don't want to be called a religious nut. I don't want to be called, you know, put out there with some of those people. And I'm going to tell you the way some people act when they're called Christians, I'm pretty sure that there's a lot of people who don't want to be a part of it. It's kind of a crazy thing, but, you know, if you want to find one of the crazy people in a television show these days, they always mark them as somebody who's religious. Let's don't give them anything to feed on, amen? Then it says the unbelieving. In other words, they didn't believe in Christ or they didn't believe in the Christ of the Bible. Listen, there are a lot of people who say they believe in Jesus, but it's not the Jesus that came and died for us. They want to alter him. They want to change him. They want to change God's word. And then the next one is the abominable. Those who have committed abominations. Now, let's stop. We're going to spend a little bit of time here. What in the world is abominable? You know, because from God's perspective, there is no difference in what he holds accountable for. Whether it's a large sin or a little sin. You go, oh, well, that one didn't count as bad as a big sin. Listen, they are all sins before God, but some carry heavier weight and more difficulty, more hardship, and more effect on the people around you. That's the abominable. But this is an encouragement of what won't be there. You know, did you realize that there are different levels of heaven? Some of you go, oh, I didn't know that. Well, Let me put it this way. There are going to be different levels of reward in heaven, okay? I mean, we're not going to go up there and, you know, and get to this part and graduate to the next. No, there is just different levels of reward. God's word says so. Well, if there are different levels in heaven, maybe there's just a fate, a place in hell just a little hotter for those who did extra bad stuff. I don't know. But either way, I don't want to be there, amen? I don't want to be in that place. I want to be with God. I want to be with Jesus. I want to be in heaven. I want to be with those who are celebrating the Lord our God. But according to the Bible, what are some abominations? Leviticus 18 says that homosexuality is an abomination. Deuteronomy 17 says astrology and horoscopes are an abomination. Deuteronomy 18 says that consulting a medium or a fortune teller or a wizard or anybody who attempts to communicate with the dead is an abomination. Chapter 20 of Proverbs, cheating in business is an abomination. In other words, false balance or not giving what's fair. Proverbs chapter 12 says lying is an abomination. Chapter 16 of Proverbs says a prideful heart is an abomination. All these things are an abomination before God. And then the list continues there in verse 8, and it moves to murderers. That's every kind of murder. That's homicide, infanticide, in other words, abortion, suicide, self-murder. Then it says sexually immoral, or whoremongers, some of your Bibles will say, and that's addicts of sinful sex. Not the sexual relationship that God gave to the married, to one another. That's not wrong. That's not sinful. That's a gift from God. But sex outside of marriage, sinful sex, he says that the sexually immoral will not be in heaven. That will not be there. Premarital sex, extramarital sex, homosexual sex, pornography. Now let me ask you, can these people get saved too? Yes, but they need to repent of those sinful things. Scripture then says sorcerers. Does that mean that you have to carry around a wand with a star on the top and a long pointy hat that moves over in a robe and look like Merlin? No, do you know that that word sorcerer comes from a Greek word pharmacia? Sound familiar? So does that mean all drug companies are of the devil? No, absolutely not. Praise the Lord for ibuprofen, amen? But drug and chemical dependencies, things that take you out of this world and understanding what's happening to the point that it's not just for your body to recover, but as an escape. The scripture says that's wrong. Idolaters. In other words, if you love anything more than you love God. Now you go, I love God more than anything. Well, you know, you spend your time on the things you love. Amen? Do you spend more time on anything than you do praising God, loving God, serving God, learning about the Lord? And then it finishes with one called all liars. There's a lot of different kind of lies, amen? There's the stone-faced lie, just balding in your face. There's insinuation. You don't say it, but you lead somebody to believe something. There's exaggeration. Heaven, dear friends, is the ultimate truth, and no lies will be there. Amen? Now, I got to tell you, the honest truth is it not, that most of us have fit into one or more of these categories at some point in our life. We are all sinners. And some of you, though you are saved, may still be living that way. And I'm going to say, if that's so, I pray that you will repent and that you'll become convicted of that right now and repent. That you'll move away from those things, because heaven is off limits to all those things. However, don't miss these two truths. One, you don't have to commit an abomination to be lost. Only one little sin will do that. But also, any one of these sins can be forgiven, and anyone who practices these sins can be saved. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 continues the list. So I just want to read a few to you. It says there, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" That's what we're talking about, isn't it? The kingdom of God. "Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." And you go, wow, what a great sermon on heaven! But that's not the way it finishes up. Praise the Lord. The Lord, verse 11, finishes with good news. Listen to this from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, "And such were some of you," all these things, "such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of the Lord our God." Anybody there? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, John chapter 14, verse 23 says that Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him." Listen to this. If anyone, is there a one here? Everyone. "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. She will keep my word, and my Father will love him. My Father will love her, and we will come to him and make our home with him." In other words, dear friends, if we love him, we're going to keep our lives in honor of him here. And he said that he is going to make his home with us, and it starts here. Folks, the wonderful news is that heaven starts here. It's just the foretaste of glory divine. And now we're through with verse 8 and all God's people said. Let's get to the good stuff now. I know we need the warnings, but God's word says in verse 6, it says that heaven is a place of refreshing. Listen to verse 6. He said to me, "It's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." Have you ever been really thirsty? Have you ever been dry to the bone, throat aching, thirsty? For almost 11 days, I had a fever, and I didn't feel like eating, and I didn't feel like drinking. But I'm going to tell you, I would wake up in the middle of the night so dry, I thought I was going to literally have to knock the dust out of my throat before I could breathe. And I would be so dry. Have you ever been dry? You ever been thirsty and you get that glass of lemonade or that cool water and oh man. I made you thirsty, didn't I? Nobody wants to drink after Pastor this week. How satisfying. How totally quenching. There's nothing like it, is there? In heaven, listen to this, in heaven, every righteous desire that we have will be perfectly and completely satisfied. Every righteous desire. On earth, we have happiness. We've got some good things, but we don't ever completely find that absolute fulfillment, that satisfaction. But in heaven, our thirst for fulfillment is going to be quenched. It's going to be met totally. Friendships, that thirst for kinship, that thirst for relationship, that thirst for knowledge, that thirst to know more about God, the thirst for good health, the thirst for real wealth, that thirst for answers to all of the questions that we have had to why, Lord, why? They're all going to be met. And in heaven, all of life's thirst will be satisfyingly quenched. Thank you, Lord. It is going to be a place of full refreshing. Number 7 in our list for 10 is heaven is a place of relief. And all God's people said, "Thank you, Lord." It's a country of no more crying, no more sighing, and no more dying. No more hospitals, no more graves. And it's a place where Satan can't get a passport. Amen? He's going to be cast into the lake of fire, and he's going to be chained up. There's not going to be any aging. There's not going to be any wrinkles. There's not going to be any sagging muscles. There's not going to be any bad knees or elbows or hearts. Heaven is the fountain of youth. That's what the Scripture told us. Let me read verse 4 and 5 for you. It says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain. For all the former things have passed away." Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Thank you, Lord. It's a place of relief. Nothing there is going to rot. Nothing there is going to rust. Nothing there is going to ruin. There's not going to be any thirsting. There's not going to be any hungering. There's not going to be any more longing. There's not going to be any more unhappiness. There's not going to be any more wanting. There's not going to be any more sadness. No more physical pain. No more emotional pain. No more itching. No more blindness. No deafness. No diabetes. No cancer. No heart attacks. No scars. No divorce. No abuse. No accident. And no more bills. Because Jesus paid it all. A little 5-year-old spent his first night away from home with his buddy. And he did fine during the day while they were busy, but as it became nighttime, it became pretty apparent that he began to miss his mama. And he got a little night stressed and upset. And his friend's mother came to him and she said, "Honey, are you a little homesick?" He said, "No, ma'am, I'm here sick." Well, the more we go through down here, dear friends, the sweeter heaven's going to be. Amen. Romans 8:18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory for which shall be revealed in us." And all God's people said, "Amen." Folks, I'm telling you, I'm not homesick. I'm here sick. Some people call it heaven. Some people call it the New Jerusalem. Some people call it the pearly white city. Some people call it Eden. Some people call it the promised land. Some people call it the land of milk and honey, the land of plenty, the city of God, paradise, Zion, kingdom come. Some people call it the hereafter. Some people call it the great beyond. Some people call it glory. Folks, I'm going to call it home. I'm kind of homesick for a country that I've never seen before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore. Sing it with me. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal. Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land. Father, we so look forward. We're a little here sick, amen? We look forward to the place that you have prepared for us, Lord. We're excited that you are the one who by your own hands, not made with human hands, you've made it eternal in the heavens. God, would you bless our hearts with a vision of what you've prepared for us. And thank you for giving it to us throughout your word, but especially in Revelation. And God, we pray that we would begin to prepare our hearts, our minds, our life, our actions to fit there today.